Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Girls are messing with each other without even saying anything.
Hey, you need to check your conscience at the door, sweetie. We're not here to be loved.
Girls are really rough on each other.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people!
Oh, chill out.
Ladies do not start fights, but they can finish them.
I'm Jim Byrne. Well, as the father of three daughters, I find it fascinating how girls can be best friends one minute and then bitter rivals the next. It just amazes me. Well, these friendship patterns don't change too much as girls move into adulthood. In fact, what we're seeing more and more is that many of the women who were mean girls when they were younger are still carrying that mean streak into their adult years. Well, if there's an adult mom like that in your life, stay with us. Author Haley DeMarco joins me for a conversation about this important topic, when mean girls become angry moms. So keep it right here for Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Byrnes is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Byrnes. Today, Haley DeMarco. We're talking about when mean girls become angry moms. Haley DeMarco is the perfect person to have this conversation with. She's the founder of Hungry Planet. It's an organization designed to present God's truth in a distinctly modern voice through speaking and writing. She lives in Nashville with her husband, Michael, and their new baby. Haley, welcome back to Homeward.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be back.
Well, the last time we talked about mean girls. This time we're going to talk about mean girls who now become mean moms and women. Incredible thing for me to hear because of having three daughters. And actually, they experience some of this meanness, if you would. You pretty much start right out in your new book basically saying most girls experience this meanness. Do you really mean most girls do?
You know, I should have said all.
Amazing.
Because essentially, wherever I go to talk about this topic, and I start asking girls, how many of you have a mean girl? Every hand goes up. I've just never been anywhere where there wasn't somebody who felt somehow there was a girl that didn't like her. You know, it's different degrees of mean. We can't all think it's all bullying and they're threatening to kill each other. It's gossip, it's slander, it's stealing your boyfriend, it's looking at you funny.
Yeah.
But every girl and then every woman feels like at some point another girl or woman doesn't like her.
Well, and actually, I think in your book you did say all. I was trying to be a positive thinker. There must be somebody there. In many ways, you say that every girl has a horrible tale to tell about being hurt by, mm-hmm. you know, some mean or hateful girl. You also have a childhood story as well, don't you, Haley?
Well, yeah, I have quite a few. I went to a really small high school. There was only 40 people in my class, and so it's quite easy to create cliques and to be excluded, and I was kind of one of the ones on the outside. And so girls, it was amazing. They did all they could to try and make me look bad and to try and pin names on me that didn't, you know, that weren't true, the kind of gossip slander thing. But they went so far as to, which is amazing, you know, usually kids will come and TP your house or do something kind of, you know, stupid that the rain washes it away. But at one point, they actually spray painted the driveway of the home of the boyfriend I was dating. Because I was happened to be in the house at the time, and they spray painted in it. So it was permanent. It was a horrible, I won't even tell you what the phrase was, but they repeatedly did as much as they could to try and scare me and threaten me and essentially get me out of the school. And I went on for 4 years. So it was torture. I didn't understand why they didn't like me. I understand a lot more now, which is why I've been able to write the book. And, you know, I've spent a lot of research on my first book, Mean Girls, Facing Your Beauty Turned Beast, which was the teen book we talked about a while ago. The research and just diving into God's word has really helped me understand.
Well, you are a very nice person. Why were you the target of torture?
Well, you know, I talk about that in the book, too, that there's kind of certain personalities that they go after in high school particularly. But then, of course, as you become an adult, it doesn't really change that much. But I was kind of shy. And that's one of the girls that a lot of times other girls will go after because they think that you're snooty. Because you don't talk to everybody, you aren't part of the gang, and you aren't as gregarious, and so they think, well, she thinks she's better than us. And so I think a lot of it was because of that. I also got good grades, so that made me look I was better than them, which, again, probably just part of being shy. I just went home and did homework. So I think a lot of it had to do with me, that I wasn't getting involved. I didn't play sports. I didn't approach the girls because I was too shy. And I really believe that as individuals, we have to take responsibility for the fact that sometimes what we do makes other people mean and makes other people mad at us.
It's interesting you say that. My wife is more of an introvert than I am. I'm an extrovert.
Yeah.
And she was a cheerleader and she was, you know, homecoming court and all these kind of different things.
Yeah.
But people thought she was stuck up because she in some ways was shy. And she said people would say to her, you know, you're stuck up. And this is the person who is the last person in the entire universe to be stuck up.
Exactly.
But that's what it came across as. And what you're saying is sometimes that kind of a person actually is going to get more torture because of a misunderstanding.
Right. And it's oftentimes misunderstandings. You know, there could be a lot of things. It could be just the really pretty girl that girls don't like because they just assume she's all the boys like her and she's getting all the attention. And, you know, the pretty girl can't help that.
Right. They're jealous. I find with my own daughters, if they would not join in on some of the mean-spirited stuff, they also were then put aside because they didn't join in. And in fact, I was proud of them because they didn't join in. And yet what they were doing was they're getting labeled, and then the kids move to them. Well, that's fascinating. Now, in your new book, you talk about how school-age girls are really amateurs compared to adults, and they kind of turn pros. Talk about this transformation.
Well, you know, in high school, it is pretty obvious. It's high school. It's really childish and crude, almost, in the way that they go about it, because they really don't care what anybody else thinks. But as we get older, we realize that there's a certain degree of having to hide it. I mean, when you're an adult and you start working at your first job, yeah, there's men there that usually that's who we don't want to see us being catty, because the men don't understand why in the world we would be, you know, have some kind of vendetta or something against another woman. So we become very manipulative, is a good word. We become very adept at sliding in a mean comment here, manipulating a conversation there. And so I think that as we get older, it gets harder because you're not really sure, did she really mean that when she says, you know, gosh, I hate you, you're so skinny. Does she hate you or does she think you're skinny?
Right.
She kind of gives you a compliment with a hateful remark. So,
right.
We just get better at hiding the anger and the meanness.
Yeah, that's fascinating. One of the ways to deal with kind of the mean women is to understand what lies behind their meanness you talk about. Tell us why women can be so mean to another person, and then help us understand that concept.
Well, I think that what it starts out with when we're young, you know, actually the recent studies and even in my online polling and when I talk to girls, most will say kind of starting even in preschool. It's starting really young. I think they're getting that from their mothers, but they're watching and they're learning the cattiness from their mothers. But really when it kicks in, when girls get really good at it, is sometime around junior high, seventh grade-ish, when coincidentally boys start becoming important. So I think the root of it is this female competition where we're after the same prize, the guy. And that's kind of how it starts out. And it all seems to center around that making a good impression on boys. But by the time we grow up and we get out of school, it seems like we're no longer picking on necessarily the weakling, but we're looking at the woman who's really more of a rival, who may be more successful than us. She might be getting the attention of a boss more than us, doing better presentations than us. And so, again, it's competition, but it's maybe competition for more money or for a better position. And so there's a real competitive streak in women that we don't really think about. We think about men being competitive, which you are, but you manage it differently. You know, we tend to manage it more emotionally.
Very interesting, and that's actually a great comment. We're talking with Haley DeMarco, Mean Girls All Grown Up, Surviving Catty and Conniving Women. Very interesting book and a great topic. Haley, when this happens in the office and you see, you know, people kind of, you know, getting together and they're having these conversations behind closed doors and you can tell it's emotional and you can tell there's some gossip, what do you do? Do you bring it up to them?
Well, this is a big point that I like to talk about wherever I go, because the general consensus would be you've got to stand up for yourself. You've got to fight. Nobody has a right to talk about you. Nobody has a right to smear your name and all that. And I totally understand where, you know, we're coming from when we make that assumption. But, you know, my book is based on biblical truth, and it's based on what's really happening here under the surface. What's the spiritual implications of what's going on? And the truth of the matter is you don't have a right not to be talked about. You don't have a right not to be offended. And if we look at our role model, if we look at Christ's life, he never took offense for anything. Obviously, he, you know, going to the cross, he asked for forgiveness for everyone. He only took offense when people insulted his father and not himself. So this emphasis on I should control my environment, I should get in there and tell them what's what, is really a symptom of kind of picking up what the world has said is a really good way to handle it. But the truth is that doesn't always work. Just like in the teen world, when you go after the girl that's gossiping about you, it just creates a cycle or then she's got to get back at you again for getting her. So it's even worse with women, because if they get confronted on what they're doing, they become so embarrassed that they can then retaliate even more. So,
interesting. And it even happens in Christian places as well. It happens in the church. It's not just something that's outside of the church. It happens in the church. It happens in Christian organizations. This is universal in many ways.
Oh, definitely. It's happening everywhere. There's nobody that's exempt from it. It's part of that sinful nature. And in fact, it really seems to be the grain of the female psyche, I hate to say, but it's really kind of what we gravitate towards, which is why it's gossip especially is listed so much in scripture as something to avoid. But again, even if it's happening in the Christian world, it shouldn't be happening. But you know, our best probably ammunition against it is just to live a life that proves them wrong. And that seems really like, I don't get to be involved. What am I supposed to do? And that's true. You don't get to be involved. You have to trust that God's going to protect your name, your reputation. It's really an exercise in trust, an exercise in dying to self, because really in the end, what does it matter what they say or think about you? It really only matters what God says.
Very important, and yet easier said than done. We're going to take a break. Yes. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Haley DeMarco. We're talking about when mean girls become angry moms. She's written a great book called Mean Girls All Grown Up.
Yeah, this is a powerful topic because a lot of times as parents, we focus on the fact that our kids might be going through this, especially girls could be so catty and mean to each other. But what happens when moms are finding that they're still dealing with this stuff? Even they figured, hey, I outgrew this. I'm out of this. We recommend Haley's book. Take a look at it at homeward.com. HOMEWORD.com is where you'll find information about Haley DeMarco. Also want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Jim Burns' book, Teenology. As a matter of fact, you can order that directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center today. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. Jim has spent 35 plus years in youth ministry. He's done tons of research, hours of it. And this book, Teenology, is kind of the culmination of all of that. It is an art to raise great teenagers. I wish it was a science. It's more of an art form. And Jim has some practical tips that you can use. In Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers, order that book directly from homeward.com. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. Learn more about how you can order a copy of Jim Burns' book, Teenology, when you go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Heather, oh my gosh, did you hear about Cassie?
No, what happened?
Oh my gosh, okay, so Cassie's dad's like a yacht captain.
No way.
And they have like this really super big boat, I guess, and he's like gone most of the time because he's the captain and stuff.
Yeah?
Anyway, while he's gone, Cassie's mom, or maybe it was her stepsister. Anyway, this person calls 911 and said that Cassie had like an overdose, or she like broke her ankle, or I don't know.
Who told you this?
Well, my sister's boyfriend's cousin's neighbor's karate instructor is friends with the guy who like assists to like the person who enters all the like computer stuff at the rehab place next to the hospital where my other sister's best friend's ex-girlfriend used to work, and she told me that Christina jumped.
Now, if you're a parent, you know that gossip is common among kids of all ages. Boys gossip just as much as girls do, so this is an issue no parent can ignore. Make it clear to your kids that gossip is harmful to everyone involved. Proverbs 16:28 reminds us that a perverse person stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. And for a free copy of my new tip sheet called The Dangers of Gossip, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking with Haley DeMarco, When Mean Girls Become Angry Moms. Not too long ago, we had Haley DeMarco on talking about mean girls, and it was a great program. And what we realized was that a lot of kids today are struggling with the mean girls being critical and negative and gossipy toward their friends. But what we're realizing today is that this also happens among adults as well. And as parents, we've got to become aware of this. Now, Haley, right before the break, you were talking about God's response. And I find a lot of people who are kind of attacked by a mean girl or a mean woman are kind of saying, you know, why me, God? And yet you have an idea of what God's response just may be. Share that with us.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can ask that in a lot of situations that just don't seem fair. Why me? Why would you be doing this to me? And I believe there's always an answer in God's word to that question, why me? And what's really happening is if you look at this as a trial, as a testing of your faith, Scripture reiterates how important that is for your faith to be tested. And in fact, in James, he talks about consider it pure joy when you face these trials of many kinds. So if we aren't allowed to have some bumps in the road, we're not allowed then to be purified and to be shown to God and to ourselves that we're going to stand by our faith. And part of that faith is a Scripture that is really hard to live by and always pops its head up whenever this happens, and that is that you have to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. If you don't have any enemies, You'll never be able to live out that scripture. You'll never be able to prove to yourself or to God that you're going to be obedient no matter what. And for women, I think that's the biggest Achilles heel, if you will, is the enemy, because we're so emotional, and frankly, we all want everybody to love us. Mm-hmm. We just want everybody to think we're great, and how could she not think I'm great? And so the tendency is to become obsessed with self, when really our tendency should be to be obsessed with God's word and his truth. So the mean girl is really your opportunity for purification. She's your opportunity to prove that you're going to be obedient no matter what the situation.
And that's very different than what we do if we're working in the flesh, because we're saying, I'm gonna reach out and just do the same thing back to this person.
Yeah, that becomes, you're exactly right, it becomes very flesh-centered. It becomes me-centered. You know, this whole kind of push for self-esteem pushes that. You have to esteem yourself and make sure nobody puts you down and make sure nobody says anything about you that's not true, and it becomes an obsession with self. I always tell everybody, we need to have God esteem. We need to get our eyes off ourselves and what's happening to us. I mean, if you look at all the godly people in Scripture, the people who did it right, their focus was never on themselves. They might have been beaten, bruised, shipwrecked. That didn't matter. Their focus was continually on God and his word. And when you can do that, when you can lift that heavy load of worrying about yourself and push it upward to worrying about God and his word, it's a relief.
It is, and yet these people that you're talking about in Scripture, they were not focused on self, but they weren't doormats either. And well, and what I'm afraid of is that sometimes a woman will say, well, then, you know, what Haley's saying is, you know, become a doormat.
You know, at some points I do kind of say that, because it makes a really good picture. If you look at the life of Paul, he essentially was a doormat. If you look at the life of Christ, they allowed people to say things about them without saying, hey, that's not right. They were put in prison without fighting for their rights with the Civil Liberties Union, you know. In today's world, you might consider it being a doormat, because the opposite of being a doormat is standing up for your rights. I challenge you to find somewhere in Scripture where we're ever called to stand up for our rights. It's not a scriptural foundation to say that I should stand up for my rights. Now, again, I'm not saying, being a doormat should be your goal. Come over here and step on me. Right. Come over here and insult me. That's as bad as being prideful. That's saying to God, I'll show you, God. I'll let everybody just step all over me. That's not a healthy approach either. So there's a balance somewhere in there where you allow people to be who they're going to be without saying, I've got to fight them, but you don't go out looking for it.
You know, last week I was speaking at a conference, and the speaker in the evening, I was doing the morning conference, and the speaker in the evening was talking about defensiveness, and he said, you know, defensiveness is a sign of an immature faith. Uh-huh. And boy, he really got me thinking about that.
Yep.
And I think sometimes that's the case when it comes to this, where we want to be defensive, that's our immediate reaction.
Right, that's our human reaction.
Yeah, and yet what you're saying is that really we need to have God esteem, and so when this is happening, we really have to focus on the Lord and how he would want us to respond.
Now, I look at that. That's a great way to say it, defensiveness, but I think in the female population, we have a tendency to be offended more than feeling defensive. I think there's that part, but being offended seems to be the big kind of, it almost is like, okay, people say, well, I was so offended because he cussed, or I was so offended because he wasn't a Christian and I can't believe the way he talked. And I think that we have to wipe that word out of our vocabulary, because, again, there's no scriptural foundation for us being offended for what they said. We are soldiers in this war. This isn't necessarily our war. We aren't the general. We aren't the one being insulted. God's the one being insulted. And we should fight for, you know, people that are insulting him. But the idea of being offended stands in direct defiance of Christ's very own life, where they say, you know, that he, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. He never fought back. He never was offended at what they did to him. And that's the bottom line for being defensive or being offended, is that it becomes all about you. If it ever becomes all about you, then you've lost your focus.
Yeah, and I think his self-image, if you would, was formed in God's image, and we're created in God's image.
Right.
So our objective, and of course it's a very high goal, and it's a process of sanctification that happens for the rest of our life, but to be people who get our esteem from God, not from others or from mean people. And you talk about this in terms of fighting the temptation to return evil for evil. It's pretty much the same thing. We want, our flesh says, return evil for evil.
Oh, definitely. It seems like that's the way, it's tit for tat. It's an eye for an eye, you know, Old Testament law. That's made sense, and at the time, that was what God called us to do, but as soon as Christ came to the scene, that was no longer it. Revenge is mine, says God. And so when we start to take on that, I've got to fight, I've got to get back, I've got to get even, well, she started it kind of thing, faith has gone out the window, and it's all about me now.
Well, there are listeners right now who are experiencing this. There are women who are experiencing it. There are folks who have this happening for their children. Mm-hmm. And in your book, you have a sentence that says, in the end, the only thing you can do is be faithful to God's word. Mm-hmm. Give our listeners some hope who might be going through this whole thing right now where they really feel like they're being attacked. Give them some hope.
Well, first of all, I can totally understand it. Like I told you earlier, I went through this in school, and it felt like it would never end. And in fact, it didn't end right then, because then I went into the corporate world, and I found not only did women not like me, but there were women that were, you know, writing my paycheck that might not have liked me. So it goes on and on and on, and everywhere you go, you're going to find an enemy. There's no way around it. You can switch schools, you can switch jobs, you can go wherever you want, but you're going to find an enemy. We shouldn't be surprised by that fact. And the hope that I found in all of this is that I just love the chance to be faithful. I just love the chance to stand up and say, hit me with your best shot, because I know where my hope is. I know what God is doing through all of this. And the fact is that he's purifying me. And the more the battle rages, the more pure I become and the more like Christ I become. And really, the truth is, the more that you're drawn to your knees, the more that you're in front of the Father, and the more your relationship grows. People that don't have these trials, that don't have Mean Girls, I almost feel sorry for them, because they don't have a chance to fall to their knees and say, I need you. I need you, Lord. I have nothing else, because this woman's trying to take it all away from me. So there's hope in the underlying call to God's side in this. And I hope that every woman that has a Mean Girl in her life, or that whose daughter does, realizes that this is really a gift. It's a really beautiful opportunity to have God and to need him and him only.
Well, that's a great way of looking at it, Haley DeMarco. We've got to continue this conversation next time. Can you come back?
Would love to.
Great. Haley DeMarco is with us. We're talking about when mean girls become angry moms. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Not easy words, but really words that as we do this, we become people who really understand that it's about God's image and not our own weak self-esteem.
Well, that's a powerful insight from Dr. Jim Burns, and a good way for us to conclude today's edition of the interview portion of our Homeward broadcast. You've been listening to Jim's conversation with Haley DeMarco. We've been talking about what happens when mean girls become angry moms. Haley's written extensively on this. She's got a book called Mean Girls and another one called Mean Girls All Grown Up, and they're books that Dr. Jim Burns recommends. And of course, Jim, having a couple of situations like this with your own daughters at home, I know this is something that has graced the Burns household as well. If you'd like a copy of this program, we'll be happy to send you the audio CD. Better yet, stream audio with us at homeward.com and podcast. Go to homeward.com and hit the podcast button. Get that subscription set up so you can start podcasting today.
I do know that regardless of whether you're a male or a female, and regardless of how poorly someone is treating you, the Bible makes it clear how we're to respond. The Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And if you keep this truth in mind, that really Christ is the one who lives within us and he is greater than the one who is in the world, then I believe it can completely change the way we view and treat those who do us wrong. It doesn't mean that it's going to take it away, but when we understand that truth, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, it can help us understand that we can overcome anything. Well, I also love the fact that Haley encourages women to respond to mean women in love. Ultimately, we're to do everything as unto the Lord, and if we do, we can treat those who treat us poorly with love and respect. If you're struggling with a mean person in your life, well, let me encourage you to, first of all, commit to praying. Pray for that mean person, but also pray for yourself as well. Pray for your own attitude. Pray that God would change your heart toward this person, and pray that he would give you the strength to treat that person with love.
Amen. Amen to that, because love is very, very important, not taking John Lennon here but as our guide. But love is very, very important when we're dealing with people, especially in the bullying season. Thanks again to Haley DeMarco for being with us on today's program. She'll be with us on the next edition of the program as well. Remember, she's the author of the book Mean Girls, also Mean Girls All Grown Up, and those are both books that Dr. Jim Burns and his wife and daughters have read and highly recommend. You can learn more about those resources when you go to homeward.com. If you missed any part of today's program, we are streaming audio at homeward.com. You can podcast along with us through iTunes. We can even send you a copy of the audio KUOCD. Drop us a line at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. We'll be happy to send you the CD as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount in support of Homeward, which is a completely listener-supported broadcast outreach. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.